Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited for this week's guest. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
She's an actor, writer, and career coach. It's Amber Petty.
Yay.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
That was synchronized so perfectly. I'm so
impressed.
It's
hard over Zoom, but we've had a lot of practice. Amber, a little bird called my co-host told me you are a fan of the Eurovision Song Contest. Is this true?
Yes. I think my saddest day of all the pandemic was the Eurovision day, because I watched they had all their videos, because I was supposed to be in Ireland. I was going to watch it at a bar. I was very excited about that, to get to see it in Europe. Yeah. One of my days in Ireland was going to be sitting in a gay bar, but I was thrilled. And then because I usually go to a party or have a party for Eurovision, you know, to watch it together, and just watching it by myself they just had the music videos people made because they didn't have the real contest, was the lamest day. Oh, I'm so sad.
I've
clearly not had any grief.
You're doing
great. The pandemic's been the roughest on you. Yes.
I know. Oh, God, cry for me, for Eurovision. It's one day for the final contest. Mm. So they lead up to it. So they have a semifinal, two semifinal days, and then the final contest is one day. It's like a 3 or 4 hour show.
What do you remember, like, the first one you saw, or what, like, initially got you into it?
Yeah, I was in a show, we were touring, and my friend was like, oh, I downloaded it, you know, it was happening then, but it's in England, you know, so the hours are always kind of weird. So he downloaded it and he's like, oh yeah, I've heard of Eurovision, but I hadn't seen it before. And so we just sat in a hotel room and watched it, and I was like, this is okay. And then it got to this one guy who started, he's dressed like a goth vampire.
I'm interested.
And he starts, and then he's like singing, he's Romanian. And then he suddenly just sings and goes higher, higher, higher until he's in crazy falsetto. And like a big cape thing rises behind him, and he sings the rest of it in falsetto. And it's just Euro disco beats. And I was like, we've done it. We've created the most perfect thing. And so I think that was like 2012 or something like that. So I've watched it since. I've watched all kinds of like the best and worst performances of all time. And so I know.
It does. It's so crazy to me. Like, why isn't it like broadcast like on a cable channel out in America? Like, it seems like you could only watch it on the internet, or is that right?
Well, for a while, Logo started to air it for a while.
Yeah.
But then Logo doesn't exist anymore. I guess part of it is because America's not a part of it, which is crazy to me.
I hope America never is a part of it.
It's Eurovision, but so yeah, that makes sense.
And like BBC ruin it America, though,
you know.
Yeah, I am. I think because like it has for Europe, and then also Australia is included. You know, sure. For fun,
generous,
and it has to be aired live. So that's one of the rules: is it has to be aired live, regardless of your time zone, and you can't have any commercial breaks unless they're like during the voting periods or some of the like introductions. So I don't know if that's one of the, but I think the Americans just don't care. And I hope they don't, because we'd find a way to just fucking ruin it. And I guess we're going to have some kind of America song contest where all 50 states compete, but I have very low hopes.
Interesting. Do you have an all-time like favorite Eurovision like song?
Well, the Rise Like a Phoenix song is a more recent one that sounds like a James Bond song, and it's by Conchita Wurst, who's I think she's a drag queen, but she was in like a beautiful dress with a beard and has a beautiful voice. That's probably my favorite song. The most famous one is Waterloo by
ABBA.
That's
what I was going to say. Like, that's how they started, right?
Yeah.
What did you think? Did you see a UK Drag Race, the UK Hun? Everyone says that's the tip of the hat to Eurovision.
Yes, I thought that was so fun. Yeah, the like nonsense ding dong lyrics are very, very on par for. Well, I loved that song.
So did, when I saw it, I almost like burst into tears because it was just like so like there was such like a pure joyousness and ridiculousness to it. So like, oh, like I didn't know I needed this, but I'm so happy it exists.
Yeah, and that's because Eurovision, like, it's just campy, and it's just, and it is campy and over the top for sure, but there is something that's very pure and innocent and joyful about it, whereas American stuff tries to be like cool, and that coolness would just taint it.
Or yeah,
ironic, or like American Idol, where it just feels very like just slick, and I'm a false brand that I've put together to please you kind of a thing. And like there's one Eurovision song that's like a bunch of Russian grandmas dancing around an ancient oven, and then like the beat drops and it's like dance, come on and dance, come on and boom boom boom. That got second place, and they're like in, and it's like grandmas.
Babushka?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll send you a link. It's a good one.
I mean, I want to see Dancing Grandma. I went to a wedding once where there was did I talk about this? It was at a historical like a fort essentially up in like Sacramento. And so like before the cocktail time, they had like the reenactors there, like in character. Uh-huh. So you had like, you know, like 1800s era like ladies, like I work the still, or you know, I make the train and stuff.
Dipping but they candles, were, yes.
Yeah. So but they ended up being there all night. So then when it came to the dancing, I distinctly remember ABBA playing and Dancing Queen, and like these old ladies dressed in like 1800s prairie women dancing with all of us. It was delightful.
Nice.
Yes, that's my kind of party, one that doesn't make sense.
That's one thing. That's the best part about weddings is like, when else is there like a nightclub where like people of all generations like dance together?
Yep. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's not often.
There's chairs to sit,
right?
You don't get that
which
at
might be
clubs.
the best.
It's not super cruisy, so it's not that kind of gross.
No, but I'm the always
volume levels down.
Well, yeah.
Speaking of cruising,
okay,
cars with bubbles on them are featured in the movie we're about to talk about, The Apple. John, what's the deal with The Apple?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with The Apple. It was written and directed by Menahem Golan, with original songs by Kobe and Iris Recht and choreography by Nigel Lithgow. Thank you very much. And set in the futuristic world of 1994, young singers Alfie and Bibi leave Moose Jaw, Canada to compete in the World Vision Song Festival. Though the festival's organizer, Mr. Boogaloo, rigs the contest for others to win, he offers to sign the young singers. Bibi is quickly taken in by the evil wild world of rock and roll, while Alfie is determined to save her, even though Boogaloo says he owns both her and her soul. It stars Catherine Mary Stewart, Alan Love, Grace Kennedy, George Gilmore, Josh Ackland, Vladek Shaybal, Ray Shell, and Miriam Margolis. It opened at the 1980 Montreal World Film Festival, where attendees received vinyl records from the film. And the reaction was so negative that some audience members reportedly threw their vinyl records at the screen. The director, Golan, was so distraught over the critical reaction, he considered killing himself by jumping off a hotel balcony, later saying, "It's impossible that I'm so wrong about it. I cannot be that wrong about the movie. They just don't understand what I was trying to do." The movie was officially released on November 21st of 1980, and unfortunately, it was once again panned by critics, accusing it of having a lack of originality, weak script, uninspired music, poor execution, and calling out Golan's inexperienced take on the 1960s hippie movement. Variety said, "The characters and story are flimsy and seem intended as mere pegs on which to hang the musical numbers, and the choreography generates a lot of energy, but its frantic tempo doesn't always compensate for a lack of imagination." And the Monthly Film Bulletin said, "The soul saving grace is an enthusiastically camp performance by Vladek Skabel." And that is the deal with The Apple.
Wow. So, Amber, we asked you to pick a movie. Why The Apple?
Yeah, well, I think it's a very gay movie, for one. And I do, it is a horrible movie, but I really love it. And it's, and it went from like a kind of ironic thing to like, Golan's passion sort of does shine through, because it doesn't make sense and it's not well made, but there is something about it that feels like, I really do want to say something though, or I really do want to make something special. And it's now it's just its own genre of thing. It is like not good or bad. It is just a beautiful failure. And I've made so many people watch it and I just love it. I love it so much.
What do you remember the first time you saw it? Like, how was it like introduced to you?
Yeah. My roommate at the time, her friend came over and we were going to watch Xanadu. And he said, let's watch The Apple first. And I was like, okay, that sounds cool. And then loved it. And then we started watching Xanadu and we were like, this is too good. It makes too much sense.
Yeah.
And we're like, had to turn it off. We're like, this is for another day.
That was much fun.
Yeah.
No.
How many times do you think you've seen it?
At least 10 times,
sure.
Somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed you're wearing a piece of BIM jewelry.
I am. I'm wearing a BIM mark, a pin that I fashioned into a necklace that a friend gave me.
That's amazing.
Very pleased.
So it sounds like you're a big fan of The Apple.
I do. I have a poster.
Wow.
I'm a big fan of the stupidest movie you guys have done.
Good
for
you.
Sure.
John, what do you make of The Apple?
I first saw The Apple, I think it was in the early 2000s. Some friends of mine, who Amber also knows, Curtis Gwynn and John Gemberling, they found out that I hadn't seen it like at like 11 o'clock one night. And they're like, "You're not going home. You're coming over to our place." And we ordered food and watched The Apple, and it was such a delightful, it was so wonderful that I hadn't known much about it. So it was just sort of walking into,
yes,
like, imagine if someone was like, had never even heard of The Room, and you're like, "Great, sit down."
Yeah.
And just you wait till you see what happens. Yeah, I agree. It's crazy. It is sort of like The Room in the same way of like, it is bad, but you could tell that at the heart of it, there's someone who really believes they're doing something, which is sort of what makes it magical. And what is also, I think, a special about this movie, I would also, again, put The Room in there and probably Showgirls, where a lot of movies are not good, but they're not good in a certain way. And then they just are not good in the same way and they get kind of boring. And so like what's not good about them sort of loses its charm. I think all of these movies, The Apple especially, it's constantly, you're constantly going, "Are you kidding me?" Like it's, you're never, it never just settles into its badness. It keeps having new stuff. It keeps crazy in new ways, mm-hmm, in fun, entertaining ways. So you're right, Amber, I agree. It sort of almost transcends good or bad. And it's just The Apple. Like it is just the thing that it is.
Yeah.
And it engages and entertains you as for what it is. You also, but you have to surrender to it in a way.
You have to, you can't try to figure it out.
Yes.
Or wonder what is BIM? Like, you'll find out. Don't worry about it.
Just bite the apple.
My husband and I watched Tenet for the first time. And I think that sort of broke me in well. Because with Tenet, I was like, I think it makes sense. Who cares? Just enjoy it. Like, if you really try to think about it, you're not going to have fun. And if you don't think about it, you still might not have fun. But at least there's pretty stuff and you're not frustrated that you don't get it. But how about you, Mark? What is your history with the Apple?
I think I saw it for, I don't remember the first time I saw it, 10, 12 years ago or so, but it is, I think I've probably seen it maybe around a dozen times. Like there was a period where I showed it to someone one day and then the next day I showed it to someone else. Right. I do think it is, I would, yeah, I think it's like the least boring movie ever made, possibly. It's also one of those bad movies. It starts and you're like, oh, this is pretty bad, but it keeps getting worse in the best way. And it moved, like, there's like a musical number, then another musical number, then like half a scene, and it just flies like a bullet. They made every wrong decision, but had seemingly vast resources. So it's like the perfect.
And it's the perfectly vast, but still cheap. So it's like, you see all of the like tinsel off of the batons on the floor from the take before where they were twirling their batons. And it's just a big, like, you know, airport. But it still has like a technical, you know, it's not dirt cheap.
It's very easy to watch.
Sure, it's like every number has 40 dancers in it.
Like it's so many dancers.
It's crazy how many people they have. And it is staged a lot as if it's a stage show where they're just like, as if there's like, here's just a big stage and people are just dancing because, I don't know, they're on the payroll.
And however, for whatever reason, this movie is just exactly my wavelength. Like everything about it is just totally, yes, I know it's bad. Yet, do I think the director made what he was intending to make? Absolutely not. But I think it's
You don't think he made what he was intending to make?
I don't think his intentions came, like, is this what the director, what was the director successful in creating what I think he was trying to make? I would say no. But what was made is pure delight. One of the most exciting movies you could probably see because it's so wild. There is just when you think you got a handle on the Apple, there's a worm. Nope.
And can I, that's the pull quote.
There you go.
And can I really quickly say, if you haven't watched this, like you know, if you haven't watched this and you like this kind of movie, like watch it now, because we may well spoil the ending. And I think the ending is so wonderful when you don't know what's going to happen that truly, if I'm sorry, I told people to turn your podcast off. I meant it and immediately come
<It's>
back. Tell a friend while you're watching the movie about Two Old Queens.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If you haven't watched the movie, listening to this podcast, you will think the movie we're talking about is insane and will make no sense. And it's correct. It is insane and it doesn't make sense. But I think it's more fun to experience the movie. What were you going to say, Mark?
I was just going to say, I do think we should say, it was introduced to me as, it's a disco musical set in the future of 1994 that's a parable for Adam and Eve. I don't think that's a spoiler.
No.
I think everything, all the synopsis was great. I'm literally just talking about the very ending, which was such a beautiful surprise.
Which will be spoiled. All right. Yes. So, Amber, as you may or may not know, but it sounds like you do, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge these movies. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you will create a category and it will be added
to the wheel.
Does that make sense? No, but it will when we get to it. So don't worry about it. All right. Get off my back. All right. So here is our current top five gayest movies ever made with their percentage score. So number five with an 85.19%, The Lost Boys. Number four with an 86.92%, Death Becomes Her. Number three with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number two with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number one with a 94.83%, Female Trouble.
So if you had to guess now, where do you think the Apple will end up?
I would love for it to become number five. I think it might not. I don't think it will, but I, for reasons we'll probably get into, but I would love for it to be in the top 10. I think it has a chance at the top 10.
I feel pretty confident it'll be in top 10. And I also think it has a shot at top five.
Yeah, we'll see. I guess the wheel will determine.
It's all about the wheel.
The wheel determines all. We sound like those aliens in Toy Story. The wheel. All right, so let's get into it. So our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we'll each give a score between 0 and 100, then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category, Amber, on a scale of 0 to 100, how would you rate the Apple in actual gay characters?
Okay, So I think it's fair to say that Shake is gay. You agree that Shake is gay?
Okay. Absolutely. So, definitely. Mm-hmm.
I think Shake is gay. I think Ashley is gay.
This is always like the little things in Apple that delight me. It's like after Mr. Boogaloo puts his like bib mark on, Ashley goes, "Oh, Mr. Boogaloo." And that always delights me every single time.
And he says, "You'll be the," and Mr. Boogaloo says, "I'm the first one and I'll be the first one to wear it," even though Ashley has one on his face. And he's like, "No, I will give you this moment. This moment is for you. This moment is for you." So I think it's fair to say Ashley's gay. And then there's all those, then in the I'm Coming song, then there's men dressed in wigs and such. I don't know if they're drag queens or what have you, but I'd say safe to say that they're gay. So let's
see. What do we think about Boogaloo?
True, he's...
He's definitely arch camp, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of glitter in his goatee whenever he's like especially evil.
But he doesn't ever do anything particularly gay or even like speak, you know what I mean? He doesn't have, I don't know. To me, he's just beyond sexuality in a way.
I mean, I think he's definitely supposed to be like the devil. Like that's who he's.
You think?
Yeah.
It's the same way. Where did you pick
the one where he has the horns? I don't know.
Are you reading IMDb trivia again?
I'm a fan theory is outrageous.
Wow. Real room 237 moment here. You think the man who has the devil horns might be the devil?
I think he's right. I think, I don't know. I feel like he's an S&M. Like, I feel like he's queer, at least.
He's the master.
Yeah.
I would put him, yeah, I think queer is fair. So with all of that, gosh. Okay. Let's see. 65. I want to be fair. It's not, the two main leads are heterosexual. So.
Thank you.
Well, true. The central love story is that, but I think
heteronormative.
Also, but what do we think of like Pandy? Like, so late in the movie, Pandy has this weird out of nowhere, like, you know what? I'm friends with the best female lead. Like there's no setup. It just happens because they're like, now it's time for that to happen. Part of me was like, oh, maybe she's in love with BB.
She does have moments earlier of like cynicism, though. Like, the queen is dead, long live the queen. And he goes, get in the car, Pandy. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, she does. So I don't think that comes out of, I've also seen this movie too many times. So
I would say her turn is pretty abrupt. But it is seated. It's seated in the text.
There's some very light whispers.
There's this, it's a very short track, but some track is laid, I would say.
Yes. Fair.
I did not think she came out gay. She also like has sex with what's his face?
She tries to have sex with Alfie. Yeah. Or
she does.
She does? Okay.
I believe, well, she says I'm coming about 100 times.
Right, yeah.
That's so true. But that felt more predatory than actual attraction.
True. Yeah. I think you could say she's like fluid.
But I think the drive was to poison him in a way.
We see more evidence of her having sexual attraction to men than to women.
Sure, but given all the drugs that she's done, I'm sure she's not turning down a threesome.
Everybody at those parties is definitely, they've experimented for sure. But
So a 65, Amber?
60? I'll go 65.
That's... All right.
I think because there's so much queer energy in it, I'm actually going to go 79.
79. Because in some ways, like Alfie and BB and like a few handful of other people are the only like straight characters in the whole movie. And Mr. Top, I would say.
I don't know.
Ironically.
His name is Mr. Top and he comes and saves the day. I don't know.
But he's so like nothing. You know what I mean?
He's
nothing. He's the rapture. He's the coming of the rapture. I mean,
they are like.
That takes me out of it.
But he's got that weird, he's like a hippie that has like robes, but like with a cut at the, to show off his like torso.
He's wearing a carpet.
Yeah. But it's like
huge beard, huge. Yeah. Huge draped beard. to really emphasize his torso.
Indeed.
Because it's not just open. It's like, we're going to make sure this torso's here.
Was I the only one who first knew him as the villain in Lethal Weapon 2?
I recognized him for all of his musical theater work.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. I'll give it a 75.
Okay.
Giving an average of 73, which is 10.33 points higher than Waiting for Guffman.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch the Apple and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Now, the only thing counting against it is, because you guys will sometimes be, oh, if they came on the runway, would you go, oh, yes, that's the Apple. Now, enough people might not know the Apple to know that.
Know.
But yeah. I'll say still 100 because I want to wear all, I mean, there's so, other than just Alfie's outfit and BB's original outfit, every other outfit is wearable for a drag queen.
Exactly.
I love them all.
At first I was thinking, I had this quick thought, like, John's going to say they're like, they don't have good taste. But then I was like, well, wait a minute. That's what we wanted a drag queen. So I had to argue with you in my own head. I argued with
Which
you.
Which I would never make. I was watching this too. I was thinking Rachel, who plays Shake, who I also recognize. He was original Rusty in the very original Starlight Express.
He's anything but Rusty.
Indeed. His performance in this movie is like an entire season of Drag Race.
Yeah.
He could be an entire season, what he gives. And the makeup, and not just on him, but like all the, like the all makeup.
Glitter and beards. Hello, Conchita Wurst.
Thank you.
Yes, very
did
much.
Did they watch The Apple?
Possibly.
And I think even Pandy has a lot of great looks, a lot of sort of glamour going on there. So I'm going to go with Amber. I think this is 100. I think it just like asks you to like go to a crazy fun place with fashion.
There's also like Mr. Boogaloo in his like purple suit with the jewels, and he's always wearing that huge earring. There's leather outfits. Pandy has like a disco Cleopatra.
Yeah.
Look.
Oh yes. There's a lot of layers, a lot of looks.
A lot of layers.
There's the person, the dancer who just has like a bunch of spaghetti pool noodles all over them.
Yep.
Even a that genius. Look. It's look, just freeze frame it. And you gotta look every frame. All of Ballet 2000. Sorry, I just want someone to reenact every person in there. Love.
I'm also going to give it 100. Giving it 100, which is 60 points higher than the man from Uncle.
Oh, good. good.
Thank All right. Goodness. Our next category, gay icons.
This is not as high.
Miriam Margolis.
I was definitely going to say her. She's in Yentl, first of all.
And if you haven't watched her clips from her on the Graham Norton show, do that immediately. After this podcast, well, you've downloaded. I don't care what you do. No.
We've already got the numbers. It's fine.
We got the numbers, you chumps. but that was about, I mean, maybe like the movie itself is a gay icon, just in terms, you know, I think maybe that.
Sure.
But yeah. I think she's about it. Because I don't, you know, I don't think, I mean,
Catherine
Mary Stewart, I don't think quite counts. Oh, there was, what's her name?
Fiona Hughes from the
Yeah,
she's one of the they don't count. Just her. So
there's also one woman in the hell, the Apple number, who looks exactly like Glenn Close. And I always think it's Glenn Close.
If only it was.
Did you imagine?
And there's also another dancer that looks like George Carlin, which is always a fun thing.
Yes.
Like, if you want to have fun, I've seen the... All right, I'll shut up.
Nope.
No. Yeah.
Catherine Mary Stewart was in Weekend at Bernie's and Knight Rider.
Oh, right.
So,
those gay classics, Knight Rider.
Well, she was in a miniseries called Hollywood Wives, and she was in another one called Sins, where she played the younger version of Joan Collins' character.
Okay.
That's
not nothing. What about Nigel Lithgow? Not gay, but isn't responsible for both American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance.
I mean, the nerve of this man judging anyone's dancing after you've seen The Apple.
I know. I just wonder if they're like, we have so many of you and we've got about 15 minutes.
We have
so
no time.
It's jazz squares, everybody.
You're just punching the sky.
Punching in the air.
Punches, jazz squares. Let's see. So yes, that's true. He's
you
in there. And then Shake being from Andrew Lloyd Webber and Starlight Express.
Is that the musical about the sentient trains?
Yes,
sure
that is the one. You got
so
it right
when you saw Cars, you felt primed.
I said, been there.
Been there, lived it.
Give me something new.
Seen it.
just picture you in the theater heckling Cars.
A bunch of kids
Where's the songs?
So yeah, what do you want to give the Apple for gay icons?
Okay.
Would you say the devil is a gay icon?
That's true.
How he's played is the sort of iconic you know, that sort of Disney villain, slightly queer, you know.
Like a Uncle Scar kind of thing.
Yeah, an Uncle Scar kind of thing.
And very much like at times like a nod to Joel Grey from Cabaret as the MC.
Yes.
There's some of that in
yes,
there.
Yes, that's true. Can I not go first for this one?
What if we said
I'm
no?
Curious.
What would you do?
Then I would give you a number and I'd say, I deserve it. I'm on your show.
I'll go first. I think there's no, there's no big one, but I think culmination of it, I'll go 66.
66?
Yeah.
That's so much higher than I thought you were going to go. I'm going to go 35. And I love, this is one of my favorite movies, but I'm going to go 35.
Okay. Yes. I'll go 35 as well.
Ooh, you lose, John.
No.
Apple wins. Given an average of 45.33, which is 9 points lower than The Wedding Singer. Well,
that's sad.
Yeah. All right, but I think you'll make up some.
It makes sense for the categories. Sorry, go ahead.
Were you about to say you hate The Wedding Singer? That's okay.
I was just going to be outraged that I got lower than The Wedding Singer for anything, but given the context,
that makes sense.
It does make sense. Yeah.
I think you'll make up some points here. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
So this is so interesting because the men are definitely unclothed far more than the women. Like there's not even a bikini in this movie. They actually like keep the girls clothed and the men are occasionally in sequin thongs, underwear that did not need to be thongs, quite frankly.
They did not need to be.
True.
No one's complaining. It's just, we're just observing.
It is crazy in like a PG movie, like, oh, there's just like a lot of man ass. Like, great.
Oh,
Because they think like, well, that's not sexual. It's a man's ass.
You know,
was that the standards back then?
Well, I mean, like the, the Village People movie, Can't Stop the Music, has an actual penis in it. And that's PG.
You say this movie is called Can't Stop the Music, you say?
Have you never heard of it?
I was just making a joke. Just having a little funny.
I was going to say, we're going to stop this podcast.
I just meant for
the
audience.
Can't Stop the Music, then come back and finish talking
about the milk number. I think that would be a fun double feature with the apple.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
If you want to completely lose your mind.
So it is, it's like, I feel like the horniness isn't successful. Like it doesn't make one super. I feel like they don't look super attractive, but they're giving it a real try.
I don't know about that.
No, that's fine.
I guess what George Gilmore in his Apple fantasy thong,
but also Alfie's pants leave nothing to the imagination.
Oh my god!
It's more revealing when he wears his normal jeans than when he's wearing his like loincloth.
There was nothing you're not seeing.
No,
it's all
it was a bubble in the back,
to enjoy.
A bulge in the front, and those thighs, the fabric was hugging those thighs.
Yes. Alfie's naked a lot. We see a lot of Alfie.
Yeah.
He's got a great body. Yeah. But it's like not the movie isn't like necessarily like camera isn't like, you know, oogling him like a
boys
or anything. But there is a lot of flesh on this. You see a lot of ass and torsos and.
And
so
they're
not
the super like cut people of today where you have to be like an immaculate person. They're just like a normal in shape person, which is
lean.
Nice
to see.
They
don't have as much like muscle tone. Yeah. But I kind of disagree with you because I think in the Apple number, the camera for some reason is definitely like pitched lower so that we're looking up. Like a choice has been made.
Yeah.
Is that maybe more because we're in hell?
But why would we be below? Wouldn't it be make more
you're
sense
in hell.
You're above?
That's heaven.
I feel like the camera being up makes you feel heavenly, even though you're correct.
You're
we would be looking down on them, but they're
you
they're
are in hell.
Using
like,
the,
it's like Brian De Palma all over again.
Right, right. I get you. But I do think that that was a choice, and that was affecting that. Like, oh, there's all this nudity. It was like as if we were on our knees watching the scene.
Oh, and I'm
true.
How I interpreted it.
You're used to that, John.
Yes.
There's
that's
also
true.
The leather daddies and Speed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the bouncer guys, I think in the Apple are wearing their like leather-ish, lots of leather jumpsuits for the men.
Fangs they have.
There's a lot, I would
there's
say.
There's a lot. Yeah.
Do you want to give a score?
Let's see. I'll say 90.
90.
It's a lot of male stuff for a movie. Yeah. You don't see that normally.
Yeah, I'll go 83.
83. Yeah, I'll go 75. There's quite a lot, given an average of 82.67, which is 60.34 points higher than The Wedding Singer.
Okay. Well, you guys
at home, Adam Sandler.
The people listening are really missing my face contort when I have to do math in my head and talk at the same time. Get out of here.
It's too much.
All right, the next category, entrances with pizzazz.
Now, I think the show, the movie starts with a lot of pizzazz. It's just singing immediately in a song. Everybody's cheering. The ending, I mean, Mr. Top absolutely has
a car made out of
pizzazz.
Light. Yeah.
A car made out of light flies into the sky.
Yeah.
I feel like that alone, I'm sorry, I have to do 100 because that 100. Entrance alone is so much unique pizzazz. That I have to give it 100.
I also really like the moment in right after I'm coming where Alfie jumps through like a mirror into Baby's bedroom screaming, "Baby!" It's like while she interrupts her having sex. It's wild and I love it. There's also the incredible shrinking man gag, which is one of my favorite moments during the song.
What moment is this?
It's during Show Business. Life is Nothing But Show Business. That song. The incredible shrinking man. And a man just literally walks behind a statue and a little person comes out. It's like the dumbest. Is it even a gag? No. But
it's pizzazz. And then I think Ballet 2000. Who's that? Immediately into a song that actually doesn't tell you who Ballet 2000 is.
After you've seen them in action, how could you have any questions?
Yeah, you don't need words. They're like letter actions.
Yeah,
it's show not tell.
The motion tells you everything you need to know. Indeed. Also, in the Show Business song, when the camera's panning and you hear the clarinet, then you see a person playing a clarinet. You hear the lady singing. You see the lady. It's so dumb and perfect.
They've got like a triangle trombone that they play because it's the future.
It's the That's future. Them. Things got to look weird. Oh, and also in the Apple number, that one, have you ever met a vampire? That one vampire pops up into the frame from below. It looks directly at the camera. It's those stupid, dumb things that I cherish about this movie.
And I could have a full 10-hour interview of just, why did you need to put in the words actual vampire into a song? Because you're using the actual, which is very hard to put into a song. It doesn't scan well. You used it 3 times. To lead to a vampire that was not seen before nor after, but it was just like this lyric, there's nothing else would work. Tell me, can you tell me another lyric that works? I'll put it in there, but you can't. No. I want to know the whole process of just that one line with her pop-up. Yeah, that's and the vampire is played by Tom Poston's daughter was a weird cameo.
The Tom Poston's daughter?
The. Francesca Poston.
John, what do you want to?
I think I'm also going to have to go with 100. I mean, a car made out of light. That's just
a car made out of light. Beat that, Elon Musk. Giving it 100.
Okay, also 100. Nice.
Wow, doing well. All right, this next category, Hell on Heels. Any ladies like spitting fire?
I think the landlady, definitely.
The landladies.
Oh, sure.
Pretty tough.
She has a whole lot of like, where's my rent? She gets mad. About the rent.
Her accent choice makes me laugh.
I mean, that's another one where you didn't see it coming, but man, are you glad it showed up?
Yeah. Right?
In a way, I think Mr. Boogaloo counts as Hell on Heels.
Well, because he is hell, literally. Yeah.
He could be wearing heels. I'm imagining he's got to be wearing heels.
I bet he was. Yeah. Oh, certainly.
With that earring?
Yeah.
You can't wear that earring with flats?
Flats?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't work.
I think that's Pandy's a little bit.
I think
too.
Pandy.
Pandy's mm-hmm. got moments. That's Pandy's where she's the queen
bit.
Is dead. God save the queen.
Yeah,
all
she's
the
a
ladies
snappy.
In hell.
Sure. Yeah. All
vampire,
the ladies
dancing
in hell.
In hell on
the actual.
That's true. Vampire. We do have actual hell here. So this does kind of, changes it. Yeah, from the previous Strident Women version. So I've got that on my side. For literal hell, I'll say I still think I'll just give it a 50.
A 50.
Oh, I'm gonna go 90.
Oh, 90. Wow.
I think there's actual women in heels dancing in hell.
That's true.
The landlady, Pandy, I think there's a lot of just stuff going on. That secretary, she's all nasty. She's like,
I wrote her down too.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Bigelow is very busy. So there's definitely, most people aren't very nice. I mean, like, BB is like the one sort of moment of sweetness and all of it. But they both get corrupt. Like, they both have sex with other people, like, right out of the gate.
Immediately.
Yeah. There's not a lot about their actual relationship that we're rooting for, other than we are told we need to root for it.
Well, they're innocents from Moose Jaw.
Moose Jaw. They don't know.
I'm going to give it a 75. I'm giving it a 71.67. All right, our next category, macabre. How macabre is the apple?
Well,
do you watch
as you said,
and need to take a shower?
Well, no, I'm just so thrilled. There's not much I can't, you know, why would I want to wash away such joy?
Right.
I guess they are dancing in hell. They're literally dancing and singing in hell. There's a oppressive musical regime. macabre. Also, the whole Bim Hour. Because they're like, doctors are dancing while a guy's dying, and the dying guy is trying to dance and while he's dying.
You think they could have scheduled that differently? Yeah.
They should. They knew Bim Hour was coming. It was their own fault. The fire. The house is on fire. The firemen are dancing, and we all just have to be okay with it. That's pretty macabre.
How about an agent taking 50%? Now that's macabre.
I think the lyrics, especially the opening number, are pretty macabre. They're very, very nihilistic. They're like, there's no pleasure. There's no pain. They're just
life in quarantine, baby.
There's that. The landlady saying, do me a favor, if you kill yourself, don't do it in my house. That's pretty
so
macabre.
Grim.
So grim. As she's making chicken noodle soup.
I did. And these lyrics in the song Show Business, I like. It said, life is nothing but show business in 1994. We fight for the spotlight. We kill for encore. Life is nothing but show business. The world's a cabaret. We live for the fortune. We die for the fame.
Very macabre. Very, very macabre.
And do we need to bring up the song Speed? Maybe the most well-known song, I think, out of this movie.
Oh, sure.
More
yeah.
More so than the apple itself.
I think Speed, I've seen Speed pop up in like different things.
I think so Speed is an easier one. I sang it in my own cabaret show because it's easier to, it's like easier to take out the apple. You're missing so much if one person is doing it. You know, it's like, I can't afford
more production number.
I can't afford these hanging dancers.
America, the home of the brave, is popping pills to keep up the pace. And every day she has to take more speed. Chilling, no.
Very chilling. I mean, it ends with a rapture, which is also pretty macabre, I think.
Yeah. Because
it's the same ending as Cabin in the Woods. You know what I mean? Like, fuck this world. Let's start over.
Yeah, because he's not, they don't explicitly go to heaven per se. They actually don't know where they're going. He's like, we're just going away from you.
Try it again without you this time. Like, I think you do need a force of evil, though, like for balance. In the world, don't you?
Well, let's find out.
The sequel. I wish.
Also, those reporters, those pesky reporters asking too many questions become waiters.
Yeah, let that be a lesson.
Which is,
let that be a lesson.
That's just was the future with all the buyouts and layoffs in the in the entertainment industry. Just came true.
And Pandy gets slapped.
Well, is most importantly, Pandy gets slapped.
Pandy gets slapped.
Slapped right in the face. There's actually a lot more. I'll say 85.
85, one of the darkest movies you've ever seen.
I'll say 80.
Don't let him bully you, Amber.
No, it's fair. It's fair. 80 is fair.
You come away watching the apple going, ooh.
Well, kind of. What? How much money was spent on this?
I think it's relatively macabre. All those things. I mean, it's just macabre with a lot of speed. I'm going to go 85.
Fast macabre.
Yes.
To me, it is like, it's there, but it's not really like, it's not like a heavy, dark movie at all. So I'll give it, but all that stuff is, you know, you got a little representation of the devil. So I'll give it a 60, giving it an average of 75.
Great.
All right. I think you're going to make up a lot of points here too. Not that you've been losing, boy. But dramatic lighting.
I mean, it's, everything is dramatic. So there's like the light switch. Oh, like the lights are going off when he's like having that hallucination before the apple.
Right.
And then, they were in an actual like laser center. It looked up when they were doing the speed number. It was one of those places that does laser light shows. It was like the biggest one in wherever they filmed. So West there are Berlin, a bunch of then lasers. at the end.
One thing that I noticed I thought was really funny is that the opening, when Alfie and Bibi are first performing and their little wistful ballad in front of this crowd, and they start getting booed, and she runs off stage, and one of the follow spotlights just like follows her as she runs off stage emotionally. And I was like, probably wouldn't have done that, but I
know. It's like, that is the shadiest spotlight. That's a pro.
I say that's a pro.
Yeah, he's like in it.
There's a rave. A raise, definitely.
A rave and a raise.
There's also all the red and coming.
Yeah, and the like well, that's not lighting per se, the like kaleidoscope right. vision, but it's akin to it. Let's see. I'll say 75.
Because a lot of like bad movies are like, they're bad because like of poor production values. But like, yeah, this one is clear. Like they had bad taste, sure. But yeah. There was like production. There was money behind it. Like it looks great.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. And also because, I mean, so much of it is performances. And, you know, they'll just, anytime there's a musical number, that's going to heighten it and bring it to a new place. I'm actually going to go 91.
91. Ooh. Eat shit, Suspiria. Mm-hmm. I'll go 75 also, giving it an 80.33. All right, our next category, vibrato. How vibrato is the apple?
So for this one, in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean anytime they give you something extra, a little more, kind of zhuzh it up, you don't need it, but you like it.
Sure.
I will say this, for my notes, I wrote down two words. One was singing, and the second one was cocaine. Because I feel like this whole movie is just a wash in cocaine. Like every choice and every decision was made with that as a
with that in mind. Yeah. I like that you had to write down singing just in case.
Don't forget.
What there do they singing. Do in this musical? Yeah, this is a high one. I mean, even one of the most, actually, maybe this should have been in Macabre, but one of the most jarring moments still is when that first landlady scene, and then Alfie like gets out of bed and he's like, oh yeah, I'll get the red for you or whatever. And he just grabs her boobs in such a dramatic, and he just full on really harassed her. Because
when you're watching that, you're not sure, like, wait, is this his like mom? Is this his aunt?
Yeah,
like, who is this? And then he's grabbing her boobs. It's so shocking.
It is shocking.
He's got like,
so there's vibrato,
a Scottish accent, and she's like a stereotypical New York Jew, and you're like, is she his mom?
We're just like, the relationship is unclear, you know what I mean?
It's true. Yeah, there's certainly not the apple. You're right.
Anything's possible. So there's a non-singing vibrato. Yeah, I think this is 100. There's literal singing, and all the choices are extra.
So much sky punching.
Exactly.
So much.
I'm 100 as well.
I mean, also just like the cars, like remember that Simpsons episode where Homer designs a car? That is exactly what the cars look like in this movie, where they're just adding things to the car. They're adding more fiberglass and plastic to make it look futuristic, as opposed to making things sleeker. They're going the opposite way.
Just every car has 10 lights at the front, because that's what we've been missing from our cars. Yeah.
And then Dandy in the apple, when he's going, do it, do it. Do it, singing like so much. And also the length of Do the BIM, like the BIM song is relentless.
Yeah. And then BIM Hour is also.
Yes.
Like, did you think you saw enough when you saw the nuns dance?
Nope.
No. We've got just weird baby started. Carriages, got the firemen. Yeah, it's long. It feels like about 45 minutes of the actual BIM Hour in real time is what it feels like.
I'm also going to give it 100. I don't know what's more vibrato than this movie. This is still vibrating. All right. Our next category, footwork. How would you rate the footwork in the apple?
So it's another high one. There's a lot of dancing. The only minus that you alluded to is it's so punch heavy. The dancing, and I watched it again for this specifically, the dancing is so, it's so much more arms than legs. Like the legs are always doing just like jazz squares or step touches most of the time.
That's how you know you're watching Nigel Lithgow choreography. Maybe that's just the way all arms. You know how you were able to tell Debbie Allen from Christmas on the Square by the twirls?
Yeah.
It's the same with Nigel Lithgow and air punching.
He hates the sky.
Well, the choreography I thought was so much of it was like jazzercise or like exercise videos, because I watched it on Pluto TV. That's where it's streaming right now if you haven't watched it. And so it's every like 15 minutes they would go to commercials, and there was a lot of commercials for beachbody.com, which if you sign up now you get a 14-day free trial. But it was like a lot of exercise stuff, and I was like, that's literally the same choreography from the apple is in these exercise commercials. Like it's
so there's
it's
the legacy. Workout.
Yeah.
It was an inspiration.
The reverberations from the Apple
we're still
are still with us. Yes.
That's how much
we'll never go away.
Is. There is tap dancing though. I love the cutaways to Alfie, definitely. Not Alfie. What's his face?
To Ashley.
Ashley, yeah. That's you shouldn't have a character's name Alfie and Ashley. It's not fair. But they cut to Ashley tap dancing on top of a desk.
And they cut to a close up of him tap dancing for most of it too. Because in tap dancing, like, let's just see the top half, let the taps be a mystery. He's also the only one in purple velvet and everybody's in silver. It's so, so confusing. But makes it more special. So for footwork for a normal movie is very high. For a musical, a little bit lower than normal. I'll say 70.
70.
I don't know. I think there's so much choreography and it's so
there is a lot of
and just again, it's like every number, they couldn't just be like, oh, we'll just do a verse and a chorus. It was like verse, chorus, cut to 40 dancers, back to this. Just dancing true. For its own sake, not doing anything for the story. I'm gonna go 92.
92. There's also dancing corpses, like hung corpses.
Yeah.
That you see them, they cut back to them. Now they're dancing from their necks.
That's true. They're dancing even dead, hanging
so wild
from the ceiling.
The perfect choice. I'm sorry. Also, there's the moment in the Apple where they flip like BB falls from like
yes!
a high cliff and they catch her, but then she flips again,
yeah,
like head over heels. It looks so dangerous, like it looks
and
like
I
it's an accident.
I think that's her doing it because
so.
I feel like you do see a little bit of her face in a way you know they didn't have CGI to switch her face or
they
something.
Certainly not on the Apple.
Not on the Apples. That trick is that was a actually very impressive.
Imagine
move.
Having to do a trust fall in West Berlin on the set of the Apple. Terrifying.
Yeah, I hope that was enough. One take. No. One take. Only.
I'm gonna give this a 95. Giving it an 85.
Too harsh.
67. So better dancing than Funny Girl, right, John?
Sure. There's more of it. I'll say that definitely.
There's more of everything, I think. All right. Our next category, spank bank deposits. Anything in the Apple you'd file away to your spank bank?
Yeah. I think Alvin's pretty sexy.
He's very cute. And like, yeah, as you've said, you can really, you got a lot of room for, you know, your imagination gets to run wild. You see it all.
It somehow leaves nothing to the imagination and your imagination.
And lets your imagination run wild. Yeah.
It's like Star Wars in that way.
Exactly.
The rich mythology behind all of this.
The rich mythology of his genes. Yeah. So yes, that's definitely true. I don't find it a super sexy movie per se. There is an actual like sex dance. A sex ballet of sorts. That's pretty literal. We're again
shots
the girls
fired,
were
humanity. Yeah. Would you say?
Yes. If only somebody would finally take them down. Let's see. Gosh, I'll say 70 again.
70.
I think between George Gilmore, I think Rachel is giving like a lot of fun, sexy energy. I think even, you know, Vladek Shabel, Mr. Bugalo, is like in it. He's like giving you S&M daddy. So if that's
John.
Your thing, there's something there's something for you there. I'll go 83.
83. The spank bank is getting full.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go. It's mostly there's a lot of writhing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The category of writhing, it'd be
mostly
100.
If we're counting, I'll give it a 75. Giving it a 76, which is about 68 points higher than The Wedding Singer.
Wow.
All right.
I love this feud between the Apple and The Wedding Singer continues.
All right. This is the last in the canon categories. Amber, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend the Apple to a gay person?
So I'm going to give this 100. I've literally really? Done it. Yes. Because I recommended it to straight people as well. But
sure.
There's bonus
if you
points
have to.
If I must. There's just bonus
them.
Points. If you just should see this. Yeah, you should see this if you're gay, I think. It's just right. It'll make you happier. Yeah, 100.
Yeah, I'll go 100 as well. I think if I know any gay person and they haven't seen it, I'll be like, you've got to watch The Apple. It's a great treat.
I'm also going to give it 100. This is like giving me what I feel like it gave our previous guests, the Rocky Horror. You know what I mean? It's like, this to me is like this. I like this more because like they failed and it's beautiful.
Yeah. I do totally agree. I would watch. There's, I've watched Rocky
that
Horror
tension
once.
Tension is more interesting to me for whatever reason.
Yes.
All right. Now we are into the wheel category.
So for the, all these categories, these are all categories that past guests have brought in or that have somehow been shifted around. So they're all on this wheel app on my phone. Ooh. So we're going to randomly spin it 4 times. Whatever category comes up, we will judge it up based on that. And then after that, you will add a category, which we will put on the wheel.
Okay.
It is a shame that the Apple, the soundtrack is not streaming on Spotify. Isn't that rude?
Oh, that's rude.
But it is on YouTube. You can find it.
Find it on YouTube.
I can't add that to a playlist.
You can't? Oh, sorry. Okay, here we go. Facial hair.
Facial hair. Well, Mr. Boogaloo with glitter in his beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also Mr. not Boogaloo. Always. So like there's choices where it's like, oh,
he
now
makes
it's
choices.
Yeah, it's heightened.
He always has the facial hair, but yeah, the glitter comes and goes, the accoutrement come and go. And then I think you do have to give it up a little bit for Alfie's beard at the end.
Definitely,
his glued on beard at the end.
It's very,
after his year.
I think the first time I watched this, I was like, where did Alfie and BB go? And then you're like, oh, that was them. That he's just wearing a beard now.
It's a little bit. And then especially when they say, when you're like, how long has passed? Because they have a baby and the baby is big. And they're like, in this 1 year, she's been gone. You're like, there's just no way unless that's a radioactive child. That child's not 3 months old.
1994, women are not pregnant
true.
As long.
It's Cain or right, Abel, that's right. I would assume, right? Isn't that the idea probably? So maybe it's one a magic baby.
Oh, okay. See, that's, I just didn't get it.
A lot of the dancers have some great mustaches.
Yeah, definitely. There are some good mustaches on their, okay. So.
Face,
yes.
That's where the mustaches are.
Sorry, I didn't realize I had drifted off at the end of my sentence. So let's see. I'll say 70 again for this.
70.
Mr. Boogaloo does a good job for this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go 87.
87. I'll go 80, giving it an average of 79. Mr. Boogaloo was the villain or a villain in From Russia with Love. And on his IMDb trivia, it said, is friends with Sean Connery. Which made me think he wrote this.
Well, I think you got lucky with this one. Dom sub power plays.
Dom sub power plays.
From the Family Stone.
There's a song called Master.
How to be a master.
How to be a master.
Slaves are guaranteed is a line in the song, not something I just added. So that's big. And yes, he does like literally dominate, you know, BB's life. The BIM Corporation also is dominating all of America or possibly the world with their oppressive BIM marks and such. So this is pretty.
Yeah, Boogaloo and then, Shake have a very like clear relationship like that.
Yeah, Ashley is very submissive. Clearly, that is his role. I'll say 92.
I'll go 92 as well. That seems right.
92. I'm gonna go 80 just because there's not enough like they don't flip it up. You know what I mean? You don't see the play implies it like changes at times.
Well, they do walk away. True. There's also Pandy who sort of is like, you know what? Run, girl.
Go to him. One of my favorite ones. Giving it an average of 88. Have you seen the 50 Shades of Grey movies, Amber?
I have. Yeah, I was in a musical parody
That's
of
correct.
50 Shades of Grey.
Oh,
you're the lead.
I was the lead. I did like 500 shows of it. So I'm
wow.
very familiar with.
I'm so sorry for not knowing that.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I'm just so famous. So I have. They're horrible. So horrible. It's
I've
horrible
read the
book.
Wikipedia entries for each of the books. So I know there's a helicopter crash.
And the helicopter is called Charlie Tango. And in the book, he finds out the helicopter crash and go, Charlie Tango, no, is an actual line.
Was
in like
it alive?
Caps. I wish. No, horrible, terrible book.
Okay, I think you might have gotten lucky again. You gave it to me.
You gave it to me.
Yeah, and this is the you promised me something and you gave it, right? Like, this is because for me personally, yes, it's absolutely 100. This is what I'm looking for at all times. And then from the beginning, even it's like we set a high bar with weirdness and it continues to give and give.
Yeah.
It keeps heightening to that very end. Yeah, that's a one. That's 100.
100.
Yeah, I'll give it 100 as well.
You know, this is the best dystopian sci-fi disco musical that's a biblical parable I've ever seen. So I'm also going to give it 100.
Nice.
Wow, this is doing very well.
Very well, yes, exciting.
You're going to think I'm joking. Sing-along factor.
Sing-along factor.
For a second, I thought you said like it would be just like Apple mentions. Sing-along factor. So I get, just to be fair, I guess the only thing going against it is that it's not a well-known movie. So it's not like Grease, sure, where everybody knows it. But I mean,
but I think even like the song The Apple, you can sing along.
You can sing along to it. BIM is the way. Yeah. BIM is the way you hear, you know, the first time you hear it, the audience is singing along with it immediately. Yeah. They're singing along constantly. There's only the ballads are the not singy ones. The rest of them are super singable.
I did find myself doing the punching the air at times watching it last night. It's intoxicating.
Yeah. Speed. Yeah. Oh, you just, oh my God. I'll
Speed
give it
is the
like,
actually, I think there's a moment in Speed where it's like actually catchy. Like when America starts shaking, like that part is like, oh, that's almost good. Like that's good right there. You found a good like hook. That's catchy. But then like, it kind of goes off the rails after that.
Yeah.
I can't hold on for too long because that would ruin it.
The whole thing would collapse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause then you would start to see, be like, wait, do you know how to do something good? So then why is the rest of this bad? And it ruins it. But it's like, no, that was a little fluke. You know,
because in life is nothing but show business. Life is nothing but show business in 1994. Like it sounds kind of like they're going through the motions. The chorus almost collapses under its own weight at some point.
We
like,
kill for encore, which is, doesn't scan right. As I've discussed, the actual vampire tries singing those words. Anyhow, despite it being crazy, it's still super singable. I'll give it just 99 because it's not Grease or something that everybody sings along with. Very fair.
For that, I'll give it a 98.
98. I think this is better than Grease. I've only seen parts of Grease. I never had any desire to watch the rest. It's true. I don't know. I enjoy this more.
I enjoy it more too.
I will say this, watching this movie, I said, oh, Catherine Mary Stewart really makes you appreciate Olivia Newton-John. Because it's kind of the same role, but Olivia Newton-John, she's great in it. I know you like to shit on the movie. It is a great movie. And she and John Travolta do give great performances.
I'm sure they're fabulous. But I would much, this is more interesting to me on so many levels.
Understandable.
Just a different wavelength. It's just for me, that's all I'm saying.
I hear you.
I've also never seen all of Grease. So
exactly.
I've seen Grease 2. That's a lot of fun.
That is.
97.33 in sing-along factor. All right, Amber, the time has come for you to add a category that will be added to the wheel so we could use to judge future movies as well.
Okay. I thought about doing like literal Deus Ex Machinas, but I think that doesn't really make a movie gay. That's fair. Just being sassy, being sure. playing
there
playing
you go,
it.
Being sassy.
Here comes Scott again.
Here's God, another God, so sassy. So I do think maybe like super obvious metaphors might be good because this is very, and then the songs are like single entendre. I feel like people keep being like, what's Speed about? I'm like, I think it's just about America's on drugs, I guess.
It almost,
and then
tricks
I'm
you.
Coming
like,
is,
it couldn't be that. It's so obvious. It couldn't be
yeah,
that.
And like, no,
could
it is.
There's got to
no.
be a third thought that it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the first one.
I like super obvious metaphors.
So yeah, I think super obvious metaphors, if that's okay.
So what would you give the apple in super obvious metaphors?
Well, I'm going to give it 100. Coming alone or coming for you is the most single entendre song. I mean, it's like, this is not a double entendre. You were just describing sex.
Here's
this could not be anything else.
Here's some lyrics from, this is a PG movie.
Yeah.
This is a lyrics from I'm Coming. Make it harder and harder, faster and faster. And when you think you can't keep it up, I'll make it deeper and deeper, tighter and tighter, and drain every drop of your love. What do you think that's about?
Well, you know, when you love someone so much, you can like envelop them in that. And that's sort of tightness, and you're energetically drained.
She's putting together furniture and she's talking about.
Oh, like IKEA.
Yeah, exactly. She's one of those.
It's weird... also, yeah, an IKEA. Yeah.
So, John, what do you want to give this in super obvious metaphors?
I mean, 100. There's nothing.
Right. The movie is called The Apple.
The Apple. It's about a woman who's tempted. Yeah.
Yeah. I will also give it 100. All right. Now we are into the bonus categories.
So these categories, they're just bonus. So we're going to rate them from 0 to 10. And again, they're just bonus. So if it doesn't do well, it's okay. It doesn't penalize the score or affect it negatively. These are just extra points it'll get.
I don't think you're going to have any problems. The first one, what would you give the Apple in musical potential? Could the Apple be a musical?
Well, it is one. It so, is and I would, I mean, could you imagine seeing this live?
I would love it.
Love it.
Better than Phantom of the Opera.
Sure.
Which I have seen, so I know it's
boring.
I know
you're not a fan. it would be much less boring, that's for sure. And I think it could be cool. It would be an experience. Anyway, I'll give it 10. 10's the highest, right? Yeah.
Yes, I'll go 10 as well.
Yeah, you got to give it a 10. It's also getting a 10. Tying it with The Wedding Singer.
Yay.
All right. Next category, queer menace. How would you rate the Apple in queer menaces?
See, and that's where I feel like Mr. Boogaloo comes in.
And I think all his people, like that's what Alfie is threatened by.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of homophobic in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of, did you guys see the recent adaptation of The Stand? It's like when they show
parts of it,
it's awful. But when they show Vegas, like it's supposed to be like, oh, that's where like the devil is ruling. But that's also the only part in the whole show where there's like queer people and dancing and like people partied. And so you watch it go like, well, that looks like fun. Like, what's so bad? Similar case here, I would say.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I will. Yes, I'll give that a 10.
A 10.
I'll also go 10. I mean, you got to.
Yeah, I think I'm also going to give it a 10. Giving it a 10, which is 10 points higher than The Wedding Singer. All right, our next category. Character actress makes a big swing. Well, I do think there's Mary Margolis and her like New York accent, whatever.
Definitely. I think that's a big swing. And I mean, I think Pandy makes some big swings. Her go to her, as you said, is a big swing.
I think if we I mean,
guess she's not a
Ray
character
Schall
actress,
sort
sorry.
Of like a little, I mean, granted, I think he identifies as male, but there's something very like asexual about the character and like such big choices.
Well, he's meant to be a snake.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, his name is Shake though. So that's how they mix it up for you. You know, they don't want to give too much away.
Dense metaphors.
It's like a typo that they're like, no, keep it.
I will give this, I would give Maximum Overdrive a 10 in this category for that waitress who screams out of nowhere. So in my head, if that's a 10, I'd give this an 8.
An 8. I thought you were going to say the Green Goblin truck is your favorite character actress, because that's mine. Sorry, Holly Hunter.
Yeah, I'll go 8 as well.
I'm going to go 5, just because like Mary Margolis really isn't in it all that much.
Fair.
And she's only in like two scenes really. Giving it a 7, which is 1.67 points lower than Waiting for Guffman. All right, next category. Witches. How witchy is the Apple?
Well,
it's Mr. Boogaloo.
Yeah, it's devilish. Yeah,
devilish.
They're all like dancing with the devil. So
in
it's not like
yeah.
conventionally witchy. You know, it's not like, you know, wearing
wearing
pointy
pocus.
Hats and right, such. Yeah.
No.
But there's the
the
pocus. Occult.
It's entertaining.
I think the landlady, though, like she does make chicken soup, which is sort of like a potion.
Oh, sure. John. Her cauldron.
This movie doesn't need extra help, John.
I mean, I'll give it a 5.
A 5.
Yeah, I'll go 4.
4. I'm gonna go six because the devil outfit when he like turns in with the horn and all that stuff.
Yeah,
giving it an average of 5. All right, next category: gay actors playing gay roles.
Now,
most
I
of the supporting cast here, I would think.
Yeah, I couldn't find Rachel's sexuality in real life, so I don't know. So I don't know what his
sexuality
is.
He did write an essay for The Guardian about what it was like to stage the Gone with the Wind musical, though.
Right.
So that's not necessarily the most heterosexual thing I've ever seen.
It wasn't Bull Durham, the musical he was staging.
No.
And then Miriam Margolis is a lesbian in real life.
This is true.
But I don't know that her character was. Right. So I guess.
She didn't mind that a man touched her. So I'm guessing she probably is a lesbian.
Yeah, that's how that. Oh,
boy, but there are like some of those dancers had to be.
The odds are their character.
Yeah. I'll give it a 2 for the dancers.
A 2.
Do we know? I was trying to find out stuff about Vladek Shaybal.
I think from what I could tell, it seemed like he's the father.
I think he was married to a woman. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, then in that case, I'll go 3 as well.
Well, she gave it a 2, but you're going to give it a 3?
I'll give it a 3.
I'm going to give it a 3 too. For all those great dances and those mustaches. I couldn't find anything on Ashley. Except that he's been in an episode of Doctor Who. And that's all it takes to get on a Doctor Who Wikipedia page. Yeah. Show up in one scene. All right, next category. Themes of mothers.
Now, I will say this is pretty weak. There's not a lot of themes of mothers. Right. She's a mother at the end, BB.
Right.
There's like a little bit of vague mother earthiness with the refugees of the 60s, as they're called. Gosh. I'll give it a 1 because she has a baby.
A baby exists.
And for the landlady being the sort of maternal figure for a 1 as well.
I'll also give it a 1. Giving it a 1, which is 4 points lower than The Wedding Singer. Devastating.
Will this fight never end?
Next category, pearl clutching.
Do characters have to be there? Do they need to have reactionary characters that like clutch their pearls, or just moments where you as the audience clutch your pearls?
Yes, I would say.
Be both.
I would say okay. Alfie is constantly clutching his pearls.
True.
But the parties and, you know, Mr. Boogaloo and the contract.
Also, Ray shall shake at the beginning when they're doing, he's like, how are they doing well? Before he gets out the literal red tape.
That's right. The literal red tape. Yes, there's a lot of shocked. Yeah, there are a lot of shocked people. Everybody's shocked by Mr. Topps at the end. The onlookers are. I'll give it a 6.
And it seems like the audience who saw the preview that threw the soundtracks at the screen were clutching their pearls. Letting go of vinyl, clutching their pearls.
Clutching the pearls.
I would love to have that vinyl record, by the way. So someone please send me one. Thank you.
They did a showing in LA a few years ago and it had some unseen footage. It had like some cut numbers from it. And I just could not imagine. Thank God I wasn't there because I probably just would have been screaming of like, look, do you see? And they would have had to take me out.
We're all in the movie theater. We know to watch the screen. pearl clutching, John.
What did you say, Amber? You said
6.
6.
6.
I'll go 5.
5. I'm also going to go 6. That's mostly for Alfie. Giving it a 5.67. And finally, quips. How quippy is the apple?
Huh.
So funny.
Yeah, it's not a real one-liner kind of a movie.
It's not funny, but it's meant to be, I guess, when like Alfie says he doesn't drink and everyone in the party is just like immediately mocking him and like,
oh, they laugh.
He says
and laugh.
He doesn't drink, and that's the funniest thing they've ever heard.
And then when they keep saying moose jaw, that's also very funny. They're from.
I feel like you can't mention moose jaw that much and not show us moose jaw.
Well, that's
they did violate Chekhov's moose jaw.
Chekhov's moose jaw.
Yeah,
they did. That's the one flaw of the structure of this film.
That's the one thing. My one critique of the apple. I imagine it's just log cabins everywhere.
Yeah, it's snow and a moose. I hope. My God. Let's see. I'll give it a 2. I feel like there's attempted quips and and some of the lyrics are kind of meant to be cute. It's not successful.
There's one moment where they're trying to get them to sign the contracts where both Ashley and Shake, they're like, first you sell it, then you make it. That's marketing.
Yes. I felt like that was like that's marketing.
Wisdom as quippy. And then also the landlady, when she's, you kids today, you're so mashuga, which is, I don't know if it's quippy, but it stuck out. I'll give it a 3 for quips.
A 3. Okay. I'll also give it a 3. Giving it a 2.67, 1 point higher than The Wedding Singer. Adam Sandler comedy got lower in quips than The Apple, a notoriously unintentionally funny movie. All right, finally, we are into the iconic category.
So we're back to scoring from 0 to 100, and these are broader, sort of bigger umbrella categories.
Great.
All right, the first one, how would you rate The Apple in homoeroticism?
I mean, again, high with the skin content we've discussed previously. I don't know. I'll say the 770. We'll see.
70.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like actual like homosexuals. I mean, there's a lot of the party scenes, there's like weird groupings where there's definitely men and women and a lot of mixing and stuff.
That is weird. That men is weird. And women?
And women.
So transgressive.
But there's not a whole lot of like, it's surprising that, you know, Snake never really hit on Alfie or anything like that.
Yeah, true.
But but yeah, there's definitely like just a like an intended eroticism, even if it's not successful. So I'll go 62.
62. You know, I'll go 55. There's just a lot of flesh on display, which is fun. Giving it a 62.33. All right, next one. Over the top wardrobe. Let's rate The Apple an over the top wardrobe.
That's another 100.
Yeah.
They did it. Yeah.
They did it. I just wrote the word constant in my notes. Yeah.
I wrote every outfit.
They also like do this thing like where they're spray painting like people's heads for like
the hair. Yeah, so much of that hair, that Halloween time, colored hairspray. So much of that. Yeah.
So many metallic, so many like futuristic leather daddies.
Yeah.
I'm also going to give it 100.
Yeah.
Finally, 100. Camp factor. Is there anything campy about The Apple?
Gosh, get out your microscope. Maybe you'll find something. I have to say 100. I have to. Come on.
You have to.
I mean. Yeah, I think this is so campy and beautiful. And the perfect kind of camp because it was purposely over the top, but it was anything else. All the other results were not on purpose. And that makes it all the campier fun to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing I wrote here was just calling love the universal melody. So even if when it's trying to be sincere, it's just absurd. So I will also go 100 for camp factor.
Here's a quick list I wrote down campy things. The unrelenting chorus of the opening song Bim that seems like it will never end. A machine that measures heartbeats during the World Vision Song Contest of 1994. Booing a singer-songwriter duo. Drinking champagne from a glass the size of a fishbowl. Making the song How to Be a Master a light reggae tune. I've never done cocaine, but I imagine it's a lot like the song Speed. Monorails. The reprise of Bim is also relentless and never ending. Asking the world, where has all the pity gone? In a song called Cry For Me is a perfect parody title for a sad song, except it's real. The refugees from the 60s, commonly known as hippies, using sauna as a verb, clear luggage. And finally, making a disco musical that matches up Adam and Eve with Orwell's 1984. So I'm also going to give this 100.
Nice.
Finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories, we don't rate, we all agreed. Either gets the bonus or it doesn't.
Okay.
So the first one, a 15% bonus point if there is a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
I don't think we can give it this.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I want you for Ashley alone.
Definitely.
And Mr. Boogaloo, but I can't. Finally, the very last category, negative 50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
Excellent. But that's right. Gonna be so hard when you have to watch Boat Trip someday. That's gonna get negative points, I think. I'm so excited to hear it.
All right, Amber. So that's the end. How do you think it did now that we've gone through all the categories? Do you still think it's top 10?
Yes, I think it's definitely top 10. The wheel was on my side for sure.
The wheel's on fire, as Susie the Banshees would say.
Yeah, so I think definitely top 10. I think there's a chance at number 5, but we'll see. I think definitely top 10.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll tell you exactly how you did out of a total possible 2,755.19 points. The Apple has scored 2,471.52, giving it a percentage of 89.70, making it the fourth gayest movie of all time. Not as gay as the Rocky Horror Picture Show, but gayer than Death Becomes Her.
That feels right.
That's fantastic. Because, yeah, it shouldn't be in the top 3. I think those are great, what you have. Oh, my goodness. Sure. Oh, I'm so pleased.
You did it.
I know. It's all my work. I really did something special here today. Oh, my God. Yay. That's so exciting.
Yeah,
it is exciting. And I guess like Rocky Horror is benefited by having like actual a positive portrayal of gay people, I would say. I think we get that.
And also like home, like they're gay, like gay sex is like part of the plot. You know what I mean? So it's not like Apple where it's like, oh, it's there, but it's not like. No one's trying to make it happen.
But I do like the Apple so much more than Rocky Horror. But that's just me. Yeah. The Apple could be Shadowcast.
Oh, 100%.
Our favorite new word.
Definitely.
Well, thank you. You, Amber, generally,
what a delight.
I think I now know like the Apple is like one of my favorite movies of all time. Just it never disappoints. It's never boring.
And it's like 90 minutes. It's not long at all.
You're speaking my language. Never a dull moment.
You could have watched Tenet twice almost. Yeah. Or I mean, watch this twice in the time of Tenet.
Don't bother. Amber, is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Yes, I teach freelance writing classes and I do workshops. So I do have some free workshops coming up, but I also made a free thing for everybody that's listening. So I made a PDF download if you're interested in writing or pitching article ideas. It's a little download that's called Where to Pitch the Gayest Article Ever.
Oh.
It gives you places for entertainment and culture or LGBTQ places where you can pitch article ideas. So if you go to amberpetty.com/queens, you can get that for free.
We love a slash.
We love a slash.
That's awesome. Thank you. What a delightful guest. What a delightful movie. Thank you so much. And we'll be right back.
We're back.
That was fun.
That was so much
fun. I'm so
fun.
Sorry you had to watch it on Pluto. I could have lent you my Blu-ray, John.
Oh, yeah. But then how would you have watched it?
We could have figured it out. We've got 24 hours.
Pass off. Yeah, yeah.
I like to watch the movie the night before, at least.
Oh, I do as well. So you can sort of collect your thoughts.
Process, sit in it.
Exactly. It's not just a reaction. Yeah.
No. But I love that. I think everybody should watch it. I think everyone should own it. Like, what's not to like?
Yeah, watching it this time, I thought I should own it. It seems like a Blu-ray or DVD.
I could see how some people would think it's like a hammer to the head constantly, but I think you just got to get on its wavelength.
I think if you do, you will have a great time and be glad you did.
Just get a bunch of friends together.
Definitely.
Well, when it's safe, when you're vaccinated.
When it's safe, yes.
Maybe a Zoom hang. I don't know. I'm going to be so glad not to have to do those anymore.
You got screen fatigue?
I do have screen fatigue.
I get it. Yeah, most of us do. It's a lot.
It's not just me?
It's not. You are special, but other people are feeling what you're feeling as well.
I see.
So you're not alone, but you are special.
Okay.
So there you go.
Special in the crowd's even better.
Speaking of not alone and special, we got a fun review on iTunes. This is from Brent Calderwood. They give us 5 stars. That awesome twosome. I love these guys. Just like they say in the intro, they're queens, but not mean. It's the perfect combo of slightly naughty and irreverent, but mostly sweet. And they're just as observant about old classics as they are about new releases. Plus, they're equally great at giving free rein to their funny, chatty guests as they are at picking up the slack when the guests are on the quiet side. I think we've got most of great guests. But thank you.
Yeah,
for
how
that.
Dare you? That's nice. Yeah, we try to keep it moving.
Yeah, everyone's time is precious. We know.
I'm sure everyone's listening to this at 1.5 speed, which I get. I get it.
Sure, there's a lot of podcasts you want to listen to.
Right.
But we thank you for listening. And if you do have a moment to rate and review, that would be wonderful. It really helps us out. It's good for the algorithm. And if you have any thoughts or questions, you can email us at twooldqueens, twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, twooldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, we also got a ton of merch. If you go over to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you could buy there. And a percentage of all the profits goes to help the Okra Project. So you're not just getting fashionable t-shirts. You're also helping people out. And we've also got a Patreon. If you want more of this in your life, another episode every week, go over to Patreon and look up Two Old Queens, the retirement plan. And you can get more of this going on.
That's right. And next week, we're keeping the biblical theme,
biblical
I would say.
Biblical theme is coming up just in time for Easter.
We're doing the Ten Commandments with old Chuck Heston.
Yeah, 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Oof, I've never seen it.
How are you going to do? You could literally watch The Apple 3 times. No,
oh my God.
More than twice.
Have you seen The Ten Commandments before?
I've definitely seen parts of it. I don't know when I've sat down and watched all of it deliberately, but I definitely have seen moments of it. So we'll see.
All right. We'll see you for that time. Get your sandals and robes out of the closet and
warm up your chariots.
And part that Red Sea, honey.
Yes, queen.
Queen of the Jews, come through the Red Sea. It's parted. We should save this for next week.
We should save this for next week. But this is some of what you're going to get for next week.
There's just a fun little bonus for those people who actually listen to the ends of these things. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.